Welcome to today's deep dive. Today we are looking at what is essentially a masterclass in economic survival.
Absolutely.
Specifically, we're examining the Western Cape's Department of Economic Development and Tourism Strategic Plan for 2025 to 2030. So, your mission today, as the listener, is to uncover how a regional government plans to engineer a massive 5% average breakout economic growth.
Right. Which is huge.
It really is. And doing all of that while operating inside a seriously struggling national climate? I mean, what does it actually take to build an economy that creates jobs when the power grid keeps failing and global markets are so volatile?
Well, it takes a total rewrite of the government playbook, honestly. Usually in tough climates, you see states try to, you know, force growth by heavily regulating industries or creating state-funded jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But this strategic plan goes in the exact opposite direction.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because targeting 5% annual growth by 2035 is, I mean, it's an incredibly aggressive goal.
Oh.
But if they aren't going the traditional route of, like, creating state jobs, how do they actually plan to pull this off?
So they're relying entirely on the private sector through a strategy they call the Growth for Jobs Plan. To put the urgency in perspective for you, the region's current unemployment sits at 22.1%.
Wow.
Right, and I mean, that is significantly lower than the national average of 32.8%, but it's still painfully high.
Yeah, obviously.
So to fix that, the state is adopting what they call a horizontal enabler model, meaning the government steps back from trying to pick corporate winners or run industries directly.
Right.
Instead, they focus intensely on fixing the basic foundational conditions for private businesses to thrive.
Is the government essentially acting like a gardener here? Like, instead of manually stretching the plants to make them grow taller, they're just obsessively prepping the soil and letting the plants do their own thing?
What's fascinating here is how they execute that soil trap.
Mm.
They aren't just saying they will cut red tape, which is, you know, vague craze we hear constantly.
Wait, everyone says that.
Exactly. But they are systematically overhauling logistics, mapping out digital infrastructure, and leveraging data systems.
Yeah.
So a private company can just open its doors, scale up, and hire people faster than anywhere else in the country.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. Because if they are relying entirely on the private sector to fix the job market, what happens when sectors are literally paralyzed by things outside their control?
Yeah. That is the big question.
Because looking at the source material, the soil prep is working for some, but it's really wilting for others.
You are hitting on the primary tension in this whole plan. Between 2019 and 2023, the finance sector just exploded. It added like 15.2 billion rand to the local economy.
Oh, wow.
But over that exact same period, construction shrank by 6.4 billion rand. And the main culprit is load shedding national power blackouts.
Right.
Those blackouts cost the region up to 61.2 billion rand and wiped out around 350,000 jobs.
And that makes me highly skeptical. Because if finance is booming but construction is shrinking, aren't we building a top-heavy digital economy with a crumbling physical foundation? I mean, you cannot run a financial hub without functional buildings or electricity.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the regional government actually realizes they cannot wait for the national grid to fix itself.
Oh, so they're taking it into their own hands.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why the strategic plan aggressively pivots funding toward localized energy resilience and water security. They are physically building workarounds.
Okay, that makes sense.
By subsidizing alternative energy for businesses and investing really heavily in local infrastructure projects, they aim to artificially stimulate that vulnerable construction sector and, you know, stabilize the physical foundation the digital economy relies on.
Right, so it's damage control. But to hit that 5% growth, they can't just play defense. They have to change how they interact with the businesses that actually survive these blackouts.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And the plan does this by treating companies like biological organisms.
Yes, the business lifecycle approach. They are mapping companies from infancy to maturity and eventually decline.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener, if you are running a business? Does a mature tech firm basically get different parenting from the state than a brand new startup?
Exactly. Because a one-size-fits-all policy is just a massive waste of resources.
Yeah.
If you are an infant startup, the government provides foundational support, streamlining permits, offering basic funding access, and local networking.
Helping them get off the ground.
Right. But if you are a mature business, a streamlined permit doesn't help you grow anymore. You need to expand globally.
Totally different needs.
Exactly. So the regional government shifts its role to localized economic diplomacy, providing market intelligence on specific foreign export markets, helping you navigate international trade compliance so you can sell overseas. They target the exact mechanism holding you back at your specific growth stage.
Wrapping this up, the Western Cape is chasing this ambitious 5% growth by stepping out of the way. They are playing the enabler, fixing the soil, and leaning heavily on private sector momentum to offset some truly massive national infrastructure challenges.
It is a really bold experiment. It shifts the burden of job creation entirely to market competitiveness and agility.
But it relies heavily on global exports and an open market. And as megatrends like global trade protectionism and climate change accelerate, you have to wonder, can a regional government truly stormproof its economy, or are they just building a better boat for an increasingly unpredictable ocean?
That is the big unknown.
Keep that in mind as you watch the global markets this week. Thanks for listening to this deep dive.